Jamie and Locker with you on a Monday as the new NBA champion was crowned last night with the Oklahoma City Thunder winning their first ever NBA championship. And Locker just gives Shai Gilgeous-Alexander the Northern Star Award. You might as well have given it to him last night with all his other trophies as the Canada's Athlete of the Year.
Okay. Did you see that third quarter?
Yeah.
Just give it to him. Like, it's over.
Yeah. Scoring title, NBA MVP, NBA Finals MVP, NBA champion.
Lots of fantastic athletes in this country. That was a year to be reckoned with.
Unbelievable from Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. We'll get into that in a moment. Each and every day we begin the Green Zone with the starting lineup, the top sports headlines. Let's start with Friday night in Toronto.
Ball on the tee, 23 seconds remaining, 32 all.
Alford crosses the 20 to the 30
to the 40. He's got something to the 50.
Come on.
On races. No one's going to touch him. No flags down. Lock it.
Mario Alford, 99-yard kick return. Luke Wilson called it a game and that was hot garbage on social media. We'll debate that. But Mario Alford, the hero, in a 39-32 win for the Riders over Toronto on Friday. The Riders are 3-0. Dante Myers, a star in that one, over 100 yards receiving and two touchdowns. However, the bad news is 18 penalties for the Riders. Didn't have Corey Mace very impressed after that football game, as the Riders will get ready for week four against the BC Lions starting tomorrow with their first practice of the week. I want to see if they run, if Corey Mace runs them with all those penalties. Some gassers to start practice.
Can't be happy about
18 penalties.
Yeah.
Furious. Yeah, he wasn't very happy after that. He was happy about the win. Yes.
How much was it whistle happy, though?
I thought, I didn't see anything that was out. I was just kind of cheap. No.
Sometimes it's just, like, come on, just let the
they
game.
They were offside. There was a legal procedure. It was holding. It was pass interference. You can't push and shove. It's roughing after the whistle, all that stuff.
All right.
I think there was pretty legit on the 18 penalties, but something they're going to have to clean up for week number four.
NBA, like mentioned at the top of the show from Jamie, the Oklahoma City Thunder are the new NBA champions.
SGA tries to answer and does. Three-pointer, SGA puts it in. SGA splits the defense, kicks it out. Williams, a three-pointer. Bang!
Shai Gilgeous-Alexander finished off the season as the MVP. He finishes off the NBA championship as the MVP. And he is a NBA champion now. 29 points, 12 assists last night. Unbelievable third quarter. And he's Canadian. Does that increase the profile of the NBA in Canada by any amount, by any stretch?
It has to.
I think it on some level it does.
Like Vinsanity took over Toronto, which really took the
He was
bump.
A Raptor, though.
Yeah, he was a Raptor, right? So the Raptors win in 2019. So that's a, but this is another bump. Now that the guys like Shai Gilgeous-Alexander and another guy on OKC, Lou Dort, and, you know, the other guys on the other side of the Indiana Pacers that are Canadian, that Olympic team is starting to look stronger
Starting to make some noise, on the
just like we've seen
front.
Soccer grow, right? With Alphonso Davies, and there's a new generation. I think Canada's just going to get stronger and stronger. Anyways.
This is the first championship for OKC since leaving Seattle back in 2008. They went to Oklahoma City. The Supersonics won a title back in 1979. So it's not the first for this franchise, technically. And Oklahoma City, OKC, the second, I thought this was kind of cool stat, second youngest team in the history of the NBA championships outside of the 1977 Portland Trailblazers.
That should be
caused a concern from everybody else around the NBA that they're that young and still a lot of days ahead of them.
Well, and the thing that I find interesting, too, is this team is, I mean, they got guys that are, you know, offensively brilliant. SGA, brilliant. But they're kind of known for their defense. I mean, they won a record number of games in the regular season, and it wasn't because they were, you know, flashy 3-point shooters. It was.
Well, you have Caruso, Lou Dort, the other Canadian. They get after you, on the defensive side.
So this is going to be a tough team to beat here for many, many years.
As we turn our attention to the National Hockey League, this is Locker's favorite piece of tape we're going to play on the show for you today. It was parade day yesterday for the Panthers.
They call us dirty. They call us nasty.
You are.
They call us bullies. So, I would like to take this time to apologize to absolutely no one. We're the double champs. We do what the we want. Let's go!
Sam Bennett with a WWE-style speech.
What day is it?
It's Monday.
They're still drunk.
Well, it was so hot. They actually had water stations brought out for the fans along the parade route, although I don't think the Panthers have had a drop of water in a week since they beat the Edmonton Oilers in Game 6 of the Stanley Cup Finals. So that was Sam Bennett putting it out there, running his mouth.
Keep talking.
As the Panthers continue to be the heel of the National Hockey. I'm here for it. Y'all need heels in sports. I'm glad the Panthers have fully embraced it.
Keep talking. That's all I got to say about that. Just if it walks like a duck, if it talks like a duck.
Speaking.
Probably a duck.
Speaking of the ducks.
Yeah.
Trevor Zegras is joining Tocchet in Philly.
And they score on the lacrosse move. Zegras from behind the net. Oh, the lacrosse try again. Are you kidding me? He's done it again. Trevor Zegras, what an answer. The kid is unreal.
So Zegras was a restricted free agent after this season, pending the signing of an extension with Philadelphia. So that came down. Not a surprise, because his name has been mentioned for the last at least 2 years, hasn't it? As trade bait, the Ducks have been trying to move him for a while, and nothing's happened. And this is an interesting move because I'm sorry, and maybe I'm making a judgment I shouldn't be making here, but he just does not seem like a talk-it guy to me at all, like at all. So I am very curious about this trade. Ryan Poehling goes the other way for a couple of picks as well, but I think we're going to be talking about this trade for quite some time. His production, Travis Zegras, and I'm glad you included the Michigan in that clip, because he's kind of known for the guy that can get that thing up off the ice and attempt it at least. I want to see him in his first game attempt a Michigan
and fail
on the bench
and fail and see anyway, how Rick Tocchet reacts.
Yeah. I think this is a wild trade. Very interesting. Anyway,
as we'll go and finish off the starting lineup with some drama at the Travelers as Tommy Fleetwood blows it, and there's Keegan Bradley to win another championship.
9-iron for Bradley.
Did he deliver one here at the final hole? Did he ever?
Here is Fleetwood. This would win it if he holds it.
He's going to be outside of Keegan.
And show him the line.
Now Bradley can win it.
Yes, Keegan Bradley came from behind Tommy Fleetwood with a bad bogey on 18 with a couple of bad shots. But here's an interesting debate that's starting up. Keegan Bradley is the captain for the U.S. Ryder Cup team. And he, with that win, moved up to 9th in the Ryder Cup standings. Of course, the first 6 get an automatic bye. You will represent the United States. And then the captain picks the other 6. Should Keegan Bradley pick himself? Now, there's a lot of golf to be played between now and the end of August when he makes that announcement, but he is within the 12. They usually don't go with that set
of all 12. They usually go to like the 14, 15 guy, depending on experience and all that stuff.
Well,
but here's it'll be interesting to see if Keegan Bradley on the captain's picks goes, and for the final pick, I'm going to play.
My question is have they ever had a guy, the captain's the Ryder Cup, that wasn't like at the sort of end of his career? I don't remember a young guy that's still in contention, that's still getting top tens. Am I wrong?
Yeah, it's very rare. It's usually somebody on the Champions Tour whose days are well gone, but the captains have been a little bit younger and younger. So,
I mean, he has sort of epitomized the, because, I mean, his whole existence in golf revolves around that Ryder Cup.
Way back in the day, the captain was on the team, but for a long time, the captain has not been playing in the Ryder Cup. So we'll see what the captain.
Would you pick yourself?
For Keegan Bradley, I think I would. I think he got screwed over by Zach Johnson 2 years ago. He was within that 12, and he was playing well, and Zach took a couple of buddies, like Justin Thomas, who wasn't playing that well. He brought Justin Thomas and a few other guys.
Justin.
And the full swing. There's season two or whatever, a full swing. Plays it out.
The picks weren't that.
I would have taken Keegan Bradley in 2023. So if Keegan Bradley wants to play and he's within the 12,
he's going to Reggie Dunlop it.
Let's go. There's a look at the starting lineup. Coming up next. Well, Luke Wilson, NFL analyst on Jay Onright's show on SportsCenter, now CFL sideline reporter on Friday Night Football, said Friday's game, Riders and Argos, and I quote, was hot garbage. Do you agree? 1-877-332-8255. We'll read the full tweet that has a lot of CFL people talking next on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. Jamie and Locker with the Year on the Green Zone. I have a question for you, Locker. Friday night, were you not entertained by the end of that football game? Riders and the Argonauts?
Yes, it was a good football, and we won.
So, Luke Wilson, who's now new to the CFL on TSN broadcast crew, you know him very well over the last few years with Jay on, right?
He's got a mullet.
Yeah, he was the Dogs Breakfast guest speaker in Saskatoon for the University of Saskatchewan Huskies. Very personable gentleman.
I want to get out in front of this. I actually kind of like him.
I really like Luke Wilson.
Like this tweet, there's
truth to it.
There's some truth to it.
And absolutely, there is.
I can see it upsetting people, but I like what he does on TSN. And yeah, you're not going to read the whole thing, are you?
I'm going to get into a little bit of it because he does say, and I quote from his social media.
It's like three pages long.
I told you I would be honest and tell the truth about the CFL. If the goal is to grow the game and attract a younger demographic, the on-field product of the Sask-Toronto game is just not going to cut it. That game was hot garbage. Let me be clear in saying that I don't think it's a talent thing. This isn't a shot at the players, but that game was really bad. And then he states the amount of penalties. 29. Then he talks about the end of the game, calling it junk ball. Saskatchewan misses a chip shot and still gets a point, which I agree with him that I don't like that.
He's not a fan of the Rouge, see?
So that we agree with. They kick off, give up a 9-play drive that only takes 1 minute and 39 seconds. There's no big plays either, mainly checkdowns. Nothing could be more gimmicky than that. You basically eliminated any short of 2-minute drive. There's not the slightest bit of urgency needed. And then on the Argos kickoff, they didn't even have a full team. Yes, they were a man short on the kickoff. Then there's a block in the back penalty that is missed, and that play should have been called back. For a three-down throwing league, there were 4 total completions of 20-plus throws. There were 12, I repeat, 12 QB sneaks. Now, that has nothing to do with it. The Argos gave up 31 pass attempts and 25 pressures. Well, that's their O-line sucks then, okay? But Luke Wilson thought it was hot garbage. What do you think? 1-877-332-8255. And we also want to know, what did you like about that game? Because I think there is a problem in the CFL, and part of the problem is too often we want to take a big steaming dump on a 39-32 game that ended with a 99-yard kick return at the end of it. Why is that a hot garbage football game? I have no clue. Jamie and Locker with you here in the Green Zone on this Monday after a little bit of a windy and rainy weekend. Hopefully you got the moisture you were looking out there for the ag sector in Saskatchewan. I believe most of the kids got their sporting events in. I know we played in a little bit of drizzle here and there for soccer and flag football over the weekend, but for the most part, until my daughter's final soccer game got rained out by a downpour later on Saturday afternoon, but hey, we needed the moisture. It was starting to get a little dry around
my lawn. Saskatchewan. The beds in are just unbelievable.
But
things are growing like crazy.
Real quick, there is weather warnings and watches to be mindful of this afternoon in Saskatchewan. There are tornado warnings in effect right now. In and around the Handle area, RM of Grandview, then Tramping Lake in the RM of Mariposa. That is, they're saying, tornado location north of Kerrobert. Traveling eastward, so there are tornado warnings up around the bigger area north of Kerrobert. If you see weather and it's safe to do so, you can pass things along at 1-877-332-8255. Well, Locker, before we get to CFL football, there is an announcement today by the Cherry family.
Well, Tim, this is our last show.
Yep. How many podcasts have we done?
I don't know.
This is our 313th.
313th.
Yeah, we've been listened to all around the world. It's just amazing how many different countries, you know, people download and listen to it. We've had 6.5 million downloads, which is pretty good. So
how many?
6.5 million downloads.
That's an awful lot. Thanks everybody for listening, and toodaloo.
Don Cherry and his son have been doing a podcast since, of course, his departure from Hockey Night in Canada, and Don Cherry said goodbye one last time on a broadcast, as I dare to say, iconic Canadian hockey broadcaster, former coach of the Boston Bruins, and host of Coach's Corner with Ron McLean for decades on Hockey Night in Canada. A final farewell on their final podcast with his son, over 300 episodes. And I still know that Don has a ton of fans across Saskatchewan. We'll be sad to hear that final toodaloo from Don Cherry. As we continue here on the Green Zone, Locker, let's get to the Canadian Football League and the ending to Friday Night Football.
Ball on the tee, 23 seconds remaining, 32-all. Alford crosses the 20 to the 30
to the 40. He's got something to the 50.
Come on
races. No one's going to touch him. No, flags down. Lock it off.
And Rider Nation roared as the Riders win 39-32. But what has people talking is Luke Wilson, who's new to the CFL on TSN, not new to TSN. He's been the NFL guy. Every primetime game he is on with Jay Onwright, breaking it down. He does a fantastic job of that. I think he is a refreshing addition to the CFL.
Yeah, I like Luke.
The one thing you need in a broadcaster is someone who is going to give you an opinion and not apologize for it.
Although he apologized almost every point. So I understand what you're saying, but
he calls it hot garbage. He doesn't apologize. Where does he apologize?
Almost every point he made a point of making, I'm not talking about the players. No, I'm not talking about this. Before you... There was a lot of disclaimers, I guess. Maybe not apologies, but disclaimers.
So he called the game hot garbage because of the penalties, because of that rouge that Saskatchewan got missing a 33-year. I agree on both those accounts. But I dug a little deeper because I wanted to know. He creates a lot of problems. He had a lot of problems with Friday's game. Some of his problems were how many people thought that was an amazing game because of the kick return. Podcast declaring the CFL's greatness, but he says it's bold-faced lies. The league and the people who cover it are trying so hard to protect the game, and their lack of honesty is ruining it. Why can't we call it like it is? A bad football game. Let me be very clear. If the goal is to grow the game for a younger demographic, this sort of stuff will not do. You'd have a better chance at pissing in a hot sauce bottle than having any sort of substantial growth with games like that.
Here's my issue with that statement in particular. Like, that's a big jump. Like, how does that game represent everything that is wrong with the CFL and the fact that no one of a younger generation is going to watch the game? That game, is it? Am I wrong? Was that game the billboard for what's wrong with the CFL? I didn't see it that way.
Now,
that's a big jump, no?
You're watching it as a fan and you come out, you spilt your beer when Alford runs it back.
Yeah.
And we go on the postgame show, and people are fired up. They want to talk about the officiating and the penalties and Mario Alford. It had people's interest. It grabbed people's interest. That is good. Luke Wilson later on, someone, because I felt this when I first read that. Wow, that's a lot of problems. What are your solutions, Luke? And he came at it, because someone actually called him out for that exact thing, and said, well, this is a preparation. It is so detailed. The football has become so detailed that he doesn't think the CFL does a good enough job for how much work needs to go into the preparation to clean up that kind of stuff that happens. And I agree with him 100%. They don't work long enough during the day. The CBA, it's a 4.5-hour day. They get 4.5 hours. Training camps are limited about how much time you can spend. In the NFL, they're out there almost all day. In the NFL, they're at the facility all day. It is a job. But in the CFL, but this minimum salary is now $60,000. So can we do away with the old school of, well, it's only a part-time job. These guys only get paid part-time money. Not anymore, they don't. You're listening going, man, I wish I could make $60,000 for 6 months of work. Absolutely. So let's make them work 8 hours a day. How about that? Like, it is a full-time job. And they can be in meeting rooms. And they can do all those things and help the prep process. And that would clean up the stuff that happened. But overall, was that a hot garbage game?
I don't agree.
No.
Now, here's a question I'll throw at you. Would Rider Nation be more inclined to agree with Luke? Because we're not getting anybody texting in and supporting Luke and that tweet from this weekend.
Yeah.
If we had lost, would we be more angry about the result and be more inclined to agree with him?
Well, our social media, because producer Scott put this on social media on the Green Zone account. And there was a ton of people that wanted to react to Luke Wilson and his tweet. And we had 50 responses, some saying he's right. Jason, he is relevant on all points. Sean, I can't even watch the CFL anymore. There's another one. Not a bad take. CFL does need to refresh. Go to a one-division model at a 10th team called Team Canada with only Canadian players.
But is that the game? Is that a highlight of the worst that the CFL has to offer? That was the problem I had with it. He obviously has a problem with being the CFL. He comes from the NFL. Now he's analyzing the game. He obviously has a lot of issues with the game. So he picks that one game to go, here's all that's wrong with your game, and here's the game that is the reason why this game is not good. Right? That was the problem I had with it. Like, if he wants to go, like, he's an analyst now. If you have an issue with something that's happened, like let's say the Rouge, let's break down the Rouge and do a tweet on the Rouge. He's trying to fix every problem the CFL has based on his observation on the sidelines of one game. Is that a problem? That's a problem.
He thought that game, in fairness, he thinks that game is the microcosm. Like, that game is the example of people jumping up and down and saying, CFL, look how this CFL's so entertaining. He's like, come on. People who know football will watch that game and go, oh, my God, 29 penalties? They can't even field the full roster on a crucial kick return? They get a point for missing a chip shot field goal that doesn't even touch in bounds, which I agree with them on. I think that's ridiculous, and it should be amended. 1-877-332-8255. David in Melfort, was that game hot garbage?
No, but just before I get to that, I want to clarify something I said the other night on the post-game show. I did not say A.J. Allen is not a good football player. He doesn't deserve to be the starting linebacker. I said he was having trouble in his pass zone coverage. That's all I said. He had a rough game in that part.
Okay. Yeah,
I do think he's a good football player and probably deserves to be the starting outside linebacker.
So, I'm glad you clarified that, David. We were a little put off by the... Wait, A.J. Allen's struggling now. He's good. But anyways...
I simply said he was having... They completed some passes in his zone, in the zone defense, in front of him, including that first touchdown, which looked like it might have been his area, the way him and Milligan looked at each other, but whatever.
What do you think of Luke Wilson?
Luke Wilson, I like him. But to just, like, let's face it, 29 penalties, yeah, I guess that's ridiculous. But that's a one-time thing. I mean, that's not happening in every football game.
That's the point I was trying to make.
How about the game before the Riders played? They had four penalties, and the other team, I don't know how many they had, but it wasn't very many either. So, I mean, to say it's garbage football because of that game had 29 penalties, no, that's ridiculous. It was a chippy game, and that's things got away, and there's a few things that happened early in the game that kicked people off, and they took some shots, and that's the way it went. But to say it's garbage just because there was one game with 29, every game doesn't have 29 penalties. So, I mean, that's ridiculous. But
does the CFL have an entertainment problem, a quality control problem, David?
I don't think so. I think most games are pretty entertaining.
1-877-332-8255. Sean, you're next. What do you think of Luke Wilson?
Well, he looks a lot better without his man bun that he was supporting there a couple of years ago. But the only hot garbage there was how the Riders almost lost it. And how that Brett Lawther needed somebody else to bail him out again. And like I totally forgot to say on the post-game show was when they were tied, I was worried that if the Riders marched into, say, the 40-45, that they were going to march Lawther out. And then, again, we would win by the Rouge. Get rid of that Rouge, and then we'll have a decent league here.
Sean and Pilot Butte.
I knew it was the Rouge.
I agrees with Luke on the Rouge. Chris in Norquay, what do you think of Luke Wilson's assessment of Friday night's game?
Well, you know what, guys? I don't necessarily agree with everything he said, but the big problem that I have is when people like Luke, people like Arash Madani or whomever, if they dare to criticize the CFL, then the zealots in the CFL say, well, if you don't like it, then F you. Well, I don't know if those people are paying attention, but those crowds on this week's slate of games aren't exactly very big, and interest in the CFL is dwindling more and more every single year. So maybe we should be paying attention to stuff like, you know, this football ops cap that's obviously restricting quality of growth. Things like the, you know, the Rouge and all that stuff, these secret things. And even like Bob Irving in Winnipeg said, don't you dare get rid of the Rouge. I said, well, Bob, would you quit watching the CFL? No. There's my point.
Yeah, the CFL diehards will always be there. Here's my question. Will the younger demographic actually turn it on? No matter how many debates or whatever they change, is the NFL too cool for any? We saw it at the bar.
Yeah.
Our watch party, the guy turned around after, I forget what play it was, and says, that's why the CFL sucks. And I looked at him and went, you've never seen that happen in the NFL? He goes, well, Like, exactly. It happens in both leagues. Well, it was a ref mistake. Ref would have called that in the NFL. Really? You've never seen an official error in the National Football League? Please. And that's what the problem is. The NFL rules, the CFL drools in the younger demographics' opinion, and I don't know if we can change that. And as someone pointed out on the text line, attendance looks terrible right now in the CFL. There is a marketing problem. There is a reputation problem.
But I don't think that game on Friday in Toronto was the benchmark for why kids aren't going to watch football. That was what I was saying about the leap. Like, he's trying to bite off like way more than he should be with his tweet. It's like, listen, you're brand new to this. Was that his second or third sideline? Okay. Like, just pump the brakes a bit, Luke. You can have a problem with the game. You can criticize the game. Just that all-encompassing tweet was like, what? Anyway.
1-877-332-8255. He's got us talking, though, doesn't he?
Well, I mean, maybe that was the point of it.
It is good for the Canadian Football League. This Day in Sports History, next on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. On this day in sports history, it was June 23rd, 2003. Barry Bonds makes history. No, it actually didn't have anything to do with hitting a home run.
Bonds going, and he steals it without a throw. And that's number 500. Bonds uproots the base. The first man in the history of the game to have that rather unique double of 500 steals and 500-plus home runs.
Yes, 500 and 500 for Barry Bonds with his 500th stolen base. The only man in the majors to ever do it.